Editor's Letter. Welcome to the June 2020 edition of Faith and Fellowship. As I write this, there is cautious discussion of easing lockdown. Schools may get to return before the summer holidays kick in, and limited interactions between households is being allowed. Only time will tell whether this easing will continue or have to be reversed. Like many, lockdown has impacted upon my work life, with some aspects being moved online, while others have to be put on hold. I'm looking forward to going into work at some point in the future, when it is deemed safe to do so. When it comes to socialising, my friends and I simply increased our usage of pre-existing means of communication, like WhatsApp and Discord. In fact, I think my social life has been busier than before, with more regular communication with friends overseas and reconnecting with others. It's been really nice. The most difficult aspect has been my parents. Both are part of the shielded groups, and I don't enjoy being the meanie that makes them stay at home. However, there has been the occasional shopping trip when they strictly get to stay in the car, so sometimes they get the carrot instead of the stick. The church has also had to undergo quite a few changes to meet the challenges of lockdown. Before COVID, there had been some discussion around the idea of a union without buildings. At the time, it was thought there would be months, if not years, to prepare and plan for it, but clearly things haven't quite worked out that way. Lockdown has refocused the church onto digitising many of its services and functions. The Sunday service is always available online on the church website, where I'm sure you also found this online exclusive edition of the magazine. There have been regular coffee mornings every Wednesday held in Zoom, dubbed Coffee and Company, where church members get together to chat and share a little worship. I would positively encourage anyone to join us. It's really nice getting to see other church members, and I certainly get to see more people than I used to on a Sunday. If you're interested, please contact the minister on how to join. One issue which has arisen has been that of communications, particularly with those without a presence online. Part of a solution to this is discussed later by Ross in a short article. Another difficulty the churches have faced has been that of finance. Donations received are down considerably, and something will need to be done. As the church increases its online profile, I believe that there is opportunity to search for novel ways to raise funds. We could set up a church PayPal account to accept donations on the church website. A patron account would allow regular donations to be made online, although use of this platform may require careful consideration. Maybe we could have our own merchandise for sale and on an online store. If we're going to have a non-traditional church, we're going to need some non-traditional ways of funding it. It won't be possible for the church to carry on as it did before. This crisis has forced us to change our methodology, and we should make full use of this change to implement some long overdue reform. As a young person, I don't just want the church to survive, but to thrive. Without change, it won't. On a brighter note, one of the first things to do before a union is to decide upon a name. What are your thoughts? Send down suggestions to the magazine for the next issue. See you on Wednesday. God bless.
Words from Hosea 11, chapter 11. They will come from Egypt, trembling like sparrows, from Assyria fluttering like doves. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Amen. Dear friends, how are you? How have you been getting on? Although the lockdown has relaxed a bit, we still need to take care, to look after ourselves and each other. We still need to pray. In fact, prayer is needed even more. Prayer for the NHS, prayer for staff and residents of care homes, prayer for those who are affected by COVID-19, prayer for those who are mourning. We also need to pray for the church. If you've seen the Assembly Trustees webinar, which is now on the Church of Scotland website, you'll have seen the serious issues that the Church of Scotland is facing. Not only the national church, but also local congregations. There's some hard decisions to come, and we won't like them all, as there will have to be significant change. Every presbytery plan will have to be reviewed and hard decisions made on congregations, buildings and ministries. I believe, though, that God is calling his people together. He's calling people to lose the idols that they've been holding on to and worshipping for years. Idols of buildings, traditions, religion. God is looking for his children to follow him, to be his disciples, his pilgrims, focusing on who Jesus is and finding new ways to worship him, our one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the gate for the sheep. Jesus himself said that no one comes to the Father except through me, John 14, verse 6. There are more and more people searching, looking to pray and for prayer, joining in with church services online, and many of these people would not set foot in a church building for a variety of reasons. As we try to see a way forward, which many are referring to as the new normal, many people are coming from many different places, trembling, fluttering, and the Lord declares that he will settle them in their homes. I want to bless each one who listens to this letter. The blessing starts, I bless you, and I'm going to leave a space. In that space, say your own name, and then listen to the rest of the blessing. So I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, that he will settle you in your home. Amen. With every blessing, Dave.
Prayer thoughts. You will have watched or read the scenario. The main character finds themselves in a seemingly impossible situation with no escape. Yet, as we continue with the story, we learn of the miraculous escape, the deliverance from danger. At the moment, we, the church, can be seen as the main character. Not long ago, to the observer, we were defined by our buildings. That image took a knock when we find that the buildings have problems. Ah, but we, the church, have another difficulty to deal with. Enter COVID-19 and the changes that the virus has imposed on society in general. What now for the church? The obvious answer for us all is prayer. I hope that many of us took the opportunity to join with the Thy Kingdom Come movement and follow the prayer path between Ascension and Pentecost. How encouraging it was, especially the Pentecost service, involving different branches of God's church and people of different races and abilities. I am reminded that we should not be a church inside four walls looking in, but God's people looking out, being seen and engaging with the world, bringing the good news of the gospel by our love and concern for others. Many of our own congregation have been doing just that through phone calls and support for friends and neighbours. My prayer is that we continue along that path using the gifts that God has given us. Themes. Approach. Come before God humbly, but in the knowledge you are there at his invitation. Confession. Review your prayer life and ask God to forgive its weaknesses. Thanksgiving. Ministry. Give thanks for Dave Sutherland and his ministry with us, and Brian Devlin in his role. Remember also the Christian output on radio, TV and internet. Church website. Give thanks for the work Ross does in maintaining our website, keeping things up to date and streaming services. Session clerks. Give thanks for the continuing work done by Sandy and Kay as they keep the administrative wheels turning. Communicators, give thanks for those who have kept in touch across the congregation, giving friendship and encouragement, not forgetting Alan in compiling and organising the magazine. Pentecost, give thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide and comfort us. Intercession, prayer life. Pray that everyone engaging with the Thy Kingdom Come will continue to be active in prayer, and that prayer will be a key part of our walk with God for all of us. Bereavement. Pray for all those who have suffered the pain of a loss of a loved one, especially when the support can only be from a distance. COVID-19. Pray for all adversely affected by the impact of the virus on work and everyday life. Stevenston. Pray that the churches will be able to respond to the needs of the townspeople, particularly those suffering hardship.
Session Clark's letter. Where do I start? And it has been quite a long time since I've had to write a wee report. Alan has asked for a wee update, so I'll do my best to make it a wee update. So many things have happened, and church is not the same place it used to be before COVID-19. We are no longer allowed to go into the church buildings, so doors are closed, and that applies to both churches, Ardeer and Livingston. A question you may want to ask is, will we ever get back? The answer to that one is, I don't know. We will remain closed for the foreseeable future. All church business in the meantime is being held virtually. During the time we have been closed, Dave has recorded a weekly service that you can join in or tune in to weekly on the Livingston website. If you have access to a smartphone or iPad, you can also ask Dave about the blessing course held virtually at 7 p.m. Sunday evenings at the Manse. And our newest get-together worship is on a Wednesday morning, 10:30 a.m. to 11:30, called Coffee and Company, where there is a reflection on the Psalms, prayer and a time for a blether. I'm sure you will enjoy it. Give it a try. I promised I would keep this short. At our recent session meeting last night, June 2nd, we were joined by the Reverend Jonathan Fleming as a representative of our Jocelyn Presbytery. He gave us a short outline of how things might look in the future, but as yet nothing is set in stone. What he did tell us was that the church will not be the same as we have known it. Changes is inevitable, and we will have to move and adapt to it. Both treasurers gave a report on the financial position as it is at this moment. Ongoing well, we will be kept informed, and thank you for your patience. God bless. Kay Tudor, our dear Session Clerk.
Livingston Finance Report. Below is a summary of the main funds for January the 1st of May 2020. General fund, and Finlay has kindly given us figures for the January figure and for the 1st of May figure to compare what's happening. So the balance as at 1st of January was £3,672. 1st of May it was -£2,760. The fabric fund in January was £4,746. In May it was £3,980. The bank balance in January was £17,132. 1st of May, it was £10,196. Outstanding payments due, presbytery dues, £840, travel expenses, £243. The SSE closing account, which is due on the 1st of June, £1,640. Smart gas meter, also due the same time, £214. And the non-smart meter, which is due on the 5th of June, £900. And Christian Aid has to go, sent £3,200. To illustrate the effects of the lockdown, comparing February to April, the income in February was £2,800, in April it was £1,028. Expenses in February were £3,842 and in April £3,762. So the expenses are about the same, but our income has dropped by over 50%. Even before lockdown, collections were not meeting costs, and while gift aid and dividends made up most of this, We had no reserves for mission or any type of outreach. Dividends are likely to be at least 50% reduced for the next year, which further exacerbates our difficulties. Our main difficulty is contacting members who are not comfortable with using the internet for finances. Several members have set up standing orders in the past month. A few have sent me cheques, made out to the church of course, which I have deposited. So if you have been putting your free will envelopes aside, perhaps you might consider consolidating them into a cheque made out to Stevenston Livingston Church and post them to me. That's Finlay, of course. I have taken £15,000 out of reserves to help cover the immediate shortfall, but that will only keep us viable for a few months. If we wish to have any financial resources left, we need to take action very quickly. And just in from the Church of Scotland Deputy Treasurer, online donations. Anyone who wishes to make a donation either to the National Funds of the Church of Scotland or to an individual congregation can do so by visiting the following page. It's www.churchofscotland.org.uk/donate and by clicking on the donate button. All donations made to an individual congregation will be returned to that congregation, this enabling members and adherents to continue to make their regular offering or to make a special donation to enable the church's work to continue at this difficult time. That's all from Finlay. He's signed it. Blessings to you all. And a wee footnote, at least the weather is nice.
Youth group. Realising we weren't going to be able to run the youth group for some time, the core group met online and decided that for the next few months we would try to run things online. On 19th May, we had our first meeting. Only two were unable to be there, which was great. We had charades first, which was good fun, although not easy to do from a distance sometimes. Alexander then had everyone trying to find things in their house. He would mention an item, a pillow, a shoe, etc., and you to find one and show it on the computer screen. John then ran an interactive quiz on Kahoot, which we all enjoyed. Our next meeting will be on Thursday, 23rd of June. West FM Cash for Kids 2.6 Challenge. A huge congratulations to the youth group for taking part in the West FM Cash for Kids 2.6 Challenge and raising a massive £846. What an amazing achievement. Thanks to those who took on the challenge and also to those in the youth group, their families and friends and members of the three congregations who contributed. All this money goes to help children and families in Ayrshire, and West FM Cash for Kids have been doing a lot right from the beginning of lockdown to help local families. The challenge was to do either 2.6 or 26 or something. Here are a few of the things that were done to raise money. Walking was by far the most popular, whether out and about or in the garden. Walking 2.6 miles for 26 days, hoping to lose £2.6. Skipping 26 times for 26 days. For our basketball fans, shooting 26 baskets in under 3 minutes. People were walking outside, walking in a walking machine inside, walking round their gardens, walking 26,000 steps over 26 days, cycling 26 miles, knitting mask extenders 2.6 a day for 26 days. Well done, everyone.
A prayer for the brokenhearted. Over the months of lockdown, our congregation have lost well-loved family members and friends of many years, not only to the dreaded COVID-19 virus, but also to other illnesses. Please join in and pray not only for those whom you know, but for everyone around the world who has been affected. Let us take our sorrows to God, who binds up the brokenhearted and comforts those who mourn. Bless those whose hearts are sore today. Be close to those whose family circle has been invaded and whose joy has been darkened by death. Amen.
News from the pews. Coffee and Company is a very informal time on Zoom, where we catch up with our minister Dave and friends from our dear and Livingston churches. sit in the comfort of our home during lockdown with tea and toast or whatever goodies we have in the cupboard. We are joined together in prayer and scripture and also chat to friends we are unable to see at this time. It's easy to log on to Zoom. I look forward to Wednesday mornings, says Anne. And Marilyn says, I have really enjoyed our Wednesday morning coffee and company get-together, particularly during lockdown, when we have all had to adjust to social distancing. Zoom technology allowed us some social interaction with our church family and friends and provided us with a great opportunity to come together and pray for all those affected by the COVID-19 crisis. Susan and Ken Gibson say, it's been great to be able to join friends from Livingston and Ardeer on a Wednesday morning on Zoom for a short act of worship, followed by a time to chat in smaller groups. This gives us the chance to catch up with how everyone is getting on, their news, and a general chit-chat. Although we are not physically seeing each other, this regular meet-up brings a sense of belonging and sharing. Everyone is invited to have tea or coffee and a treat during the time together. Ken and I have found this is something we look forward to each week as we can get out of our wee self-isolation bubble and keep up with friends and get to know others. Thanks to Dave for setting this up as a weekly time of fellowship. And from Kathy Johnson, hi everyone, I have recently joined this informal meeting at 10:30 every Wednesday morning on Zoom. What a great way to catch up with friends and meet new people. It's a nice midweek break. So grab a coffee and join in the chat. Contact Dave Sutherland for the meeting password and I'll look forward to seeing you there.
Amazon Smile. Livingston Church has recently enrolled with Amazon Smile. This means that if you or your family shop at Amazon, there is an opportunity for you to donate part of every purchase to the church at no additional cost to you. What is Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a simple and automatic way for you to support a charity of your choice every time you shop, at no cost to you. When you shop at smile.amazon.co.uk, you'll find the exact same prices and selections as amazon.co.uk, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of the purchase price to your selected charity. How do I select a charitable organisation to support when shopping with Amazon Smile? On your first visit to smile.amazon.co.uk, you need to select a charitable organisation to receive donations from eligible purchases before you begin shopping. You will need to search for Stevenston Livingston Parish Church of Scotland and press Select. Simply searching for Stevenston should bring it up. Then every eligible purchase you make at smile.amazon.co.uk will result in a donation. It is important to note that Amazon will only donate to the church if you purchase via smile.amazon.co.uk. It will not work if you go directly to the amazon.co.uk. Your usual Amazon account and login details will work on smile.amazon.co.uk. It is not currently possible to use Amazon Smile on the Amazon app if you have an Apple device, iPhone or iPad. You will need to use a web browser to go to the Amazon Smile website. It is possible to set up Amazon Smile on the app if you use an Android device. Please encourage your friends and family to support us through Amazon Smile. Thank you.
Twilio. Many years ago, our Sunday services were available on cassette tape for those who were unable to attend church. In recent years, CDs have been available since 2015. Recordings of the service have been on the Livingston Church website for people to listen to at a time of their choosing. During this lockdown period, however, it has become apparent that some people are unable to access the Sunday service. Not everyone has access to the internet, and it would be challenging to increase the existing CD delivery system at a time when travel is limited, social distancing is in place, and the risks surrounding coronavirus still remain high. We now have a solution to this. It's called Twilio. Every week, the Sunday service will be available to listen to by phone. All you have to do is call 01294 444 370 and press number 1 on your telephone keypad when prompted. There will be a short wait while it connects to the service. This may take up to 1 minute, during which time the line will go quiet. It costs the same normal local call, and these prices vary depending on your telephone provider. If you have an inclusive calls package, it will be included in this and will not cost any extra. If you have any questions or comments about either Amazon Smile, which was mentioned before, or Twilio, you can email contactus at livingstonchurch.org.uk.
The Children's Church. The leader of the Children's Church has arranged a meeting online to discuss how we can find ways of meeting online with the young people from the Children's Church over the next few months. Until we get back to church, it is quite a wide age group. However, we are hoping to use Zoom to bring them all together. Communication from abroad. In the last week or so, I've had some email discussions with a John Thompson, who is in Izmir, Turkey, and has family connections with Ardia Church. Here are some extracts from his letter he sent. If anyone has information that they can share with him, I'm more than happy to give his email address. Dave. During this time of uncertainty and lockdown, I have again shaken the branches of my family tree to see if I could discover more information. On my grandfather Robert Hamilton's side, the Hamiltons and Hunter families, I can trace them as far as early to the 1800s as being residents in Stevenson. My maternal grandmother, Mary Gibson, family of Macomb and Gibson, were also long established in Stevenson. The Macombs at Townhead Street and the Gibsons at Chemical Row are dear. It is from these people that I have my Christian heritage. My grandmother, later to be a Labour councillor for Colwinning Landward, taught me the hymns and Bible stories from an early age, so that my parents were a bit taken aback when I asked for a Bible for Christmas on 1966 when I was 6 years of age. So the Macombs and the Gibsons had associations with Ardia Parish Church even before it was Ardia Parish Church. I find a Robert Macomb on the first kirk session of 1895, who is my great-great-grandfather. Ardia Church opened with ceremony on the 14th of June 1895. After only a few months, tragedy clouded the Macomb and extended family with the Auchinharvey mining disaster on the 2nd of August 1895. Macomb's father and two sons were able to escape, but others were not so fortunate. The Gibsons has association with Ardia. My great Auntie Annie Patterson was still in the Guild into the 1960s and 70s, having been born in Ardia in 1898. My great-grandfather William Gibson and his wife Annie Macomb raised a family of 10 at 13 Chemical Row, Ardia. My godmother May Mackenzie, with her parents Willie and Grace Mackenzie, were lifetime members. I can trace Auntie May from the Youth Fellowship, Sunday School and through to the Eldership, the duties of which she took faithfully and responsibly until no longer able to do so. It was always a treat to visit Auntie May, and she would have a gift for the kids, a pencil, a colouring book and a book of scripture text.
A year on. Reflections from Catherine Reid. It's exactly a year since I passed over the editorship of the Livingston Herald to Alan. At the end of June 2018, I prepared the Kirk session by telling them that I would continue as editor for one final year. I felt I had been doing it long enough. New ideas were slow to materialise, and the magazine seemed to me to be very set in its ways. Yet I was concerned that perhaps no one would be prepared to take it on, and that after 20 years, the magazine would just peter out. when Alan contacted me and agreed to meet up with me to discuss editing the magazine, I wondered if he realised what a commitment he would be making. He was young, enthusiastic, and asking all the right questions. I was also pleased that at the beginning he wanted to keep the framework as it was. What I have enjoyed is the way he has changed the Herald. Little by little, he has put his own stamp on it. He has tried some thought-provoking articles, and he's had a very good response from the congregation. In the September 2019 magazine, Alan tried Views from the Pews, focusing on how churches have changed and what the church of the future might look like. A good number of contributors had a go at trying to answer this. The Christmas edition was expanded to include Our Dear's news, and the magazine was produced in colour to mark the launch of the joint venture with a new title of Faith and Fellowship. In the last edition, the theme was centred around prayer. Andrew Tomlinson had produced a framework for prayer as a support to praying. Once again, there was a variety of very interesting articles as several members attempted to explain what praying means to them. Because I don't produce the magazine any longer, I planned to take some extra holidays and get away for a few days during the months when in the past I would be planning and editing the magazine. Unfortunately, thanks to the current lockdown, holidays have been curtailed for all. This year, I have enjoyed spending the extra time in the garden, however, and our garden is looking better than it has in years. Thank you, Alan, for taking up the challenge. You have embraced it wholeheartedly, and I look forward to enjoying more interesting and contentious articles in the future.